Beware the Podcast Scammer by Jeannie Graham Scott. If you are trying to promote something, you may want to be interviewed on podcasts. This can be an easy way to get out your message with a phone or video call connection. However, sometimes the podcast may turn out to be another way to conduct a scam. Reveal personal and privacy information about you that listeners can use, or be a kind of a crank or prank call with callers in on the joke. I just experienced one such podcast after a producer called me to set up a call about one of the books I was trying to promote for a publisher.
Hey there, is this Jeannie?
Yeah.
Oh, hey Jeannie, this is Carol from the Reasonable Sanity Podcast.
Women with Partners in Prison, originally called Love and Sex in Prison, published by American Leadership Books. Though I had given the show producer who called me the correct title and my website, the host immediately announced the wrong title.
The author of Love and Sex in Prison, Jeannie Graham Scott. Welcome to the show, Jeannie.
Oh, good. Glad to be here. By the way, we changed the title. It's now called Women with Partners in Prison.
And though I corrected him, he repeated the wrong title two more times during the program. And he gave out the wrong website twice, too.
By the way, the website is changemakerspublishingandwriting.com. That's the one with the books on it.
Oh, okay. Carol?
I'm sorry.
Soon after I was introduced, the podcast interview devolved from there. I answered what seemed like a reasonable question. Why do women enter into relationships with men in prison when they can have relationships with men not in prison? With some usual explanations. The women are lonely, have been in abusive relationships, like feeling in control in the relationship, and enjoy the attention they get, since the man has little else to do.
So she's his new warden. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes.
But then the host opened the phones, and I got some truly wacky comments from listeners.
Looks like we got a caller on line three. Line three, what's your question for Jeannie?
One man wanted to know how he could get into prison to have a relationship with women.
I'm ready to do this for real. What crime would you recommend to commit to get into prison into a way that the women will be most attracted to me?
And after I said I didn't condone someone committing crimes to get into prison, he called back asking, what kind of crime is it better to commit? He thought murder was too serious, but he thought he might hit a baby or rob someone.
I'm calling back in. I couldn't bring myself to do a murder, but I punched a baby. So, what do I do next? Like, what's my next step?
Another man said he wasn't in prison now, but he wondered how he could meet these women who wanted to meet prisoners if he was in prison.
My name's Silky. I'm single. So are you saying that, like, if I do, like, a 10-year bid, I will find love?
After I mentioned that prisoners often meet women by signing up with prison pen pal sites, he not only asked for the names of some of these websites, but he wondered what he could say to convince the women he contacted he was a prisoner so he could meet them.
Can I just catfish, one of these prisoners? And then, maybe once he gets out, I'll be like, look, it's me. I was here the whole time.
I said I couldn't condone lying, though I suggested he might try a search on Google after he said he wanted to be prepared should he end up in prison.
I can get your book on Amazon?
It's on Amazon, yes.
Women with Parkinson's in prison?
No, women with partners. In prison.
Parkinson's.
Not Parkinson, prison partners.
Then, after one woman called praising me for a book that I wrote, How AI is Transforming Prison and Jails, also from American Leadership Books.
I don't care about that so much. What can you tell me about your experience as a podcast scam expert?
And I mentioned using AI to track contraband in prison. The host turned the discussion around to describing a sexual toy that could be sold through the contraband network.
Have you ever heard of a Fifi?
No, I haven't.
He even began describing what this device might look like as to create an erotic picture for his listeners.
It is contraband, so it's relative to what you were just saying a second ago, and it is smuggled in. It's a mixture of a rubber glove, socks, some kind of banding, and then 6 to 8 inches. And then that becomes their girlfriend.
Before I said I had never heard of the device and switched the conversation to something else related to contraband.
I don't know. I mean, I think people want a personal relationship.
I began describing how both men and women in prison had connections with networks of criminals outside of prison, and how women in relationships sometimes became couriers for these networks to bring the contraband to a partner in prison.
You talked about catfishing. Well, I mean, sometimes, you know, he's sort of playing her because...
I'm five. You're on the air?
So I had a dream and Mark Wahlberg was finger banging me on the Ferris wheel. And I was wondering, does that mean that my prison boyfriend is cheating on me?
No, it doesn't mean anything.
At this point, since I was growing concerned about the unusual callers and a host who seemed to be using the show as a kind of prank, I probably should have ended the podcast and hung up. Yet I felt I had committed to a 15 to 20 minute interview, so I stayed on the call.
In prison.
Is this Barbara Eden?
Am I what?
Barbara Eden, Eugenie. I remember the show you were on in the 60s.
Though in retrospect, I should have dropped out. But sometimes feelings of being polite and keeping commitments can keep us involved in some activity or event, although we suspect it isn't what we initially agreed to be part of.
So you're like a pimp for prisoners?
What?
Is that what you do? You kind of pimp out prisoners? Do you get like
a cut?
Well,
I'm not advocating anything. I'm just talking about what's the situation.
Do they like pay you money to get like sex?
Then the last few minutes of the podcast became even weirder. The host apologized for saying the wrong name of my book and giving out the wrong website, explaining that the error was because his producer was under the weather and recovering from COVID.
Carol, you need to give me better notes, Carol.
I'm sorry.
Next time, better notes. All right, sorry.
So he advised her on air to be more careful next time.
I've had cold sweats all day.
Yes, it's the cold. Yes, exactly. I blame her cold sweats, but it's certainly her fault.
Okay.
Then he announced that if anyone wanted to get in touch with me, they should call my phone number. And he gave it out.
Line one, what's your question for Jeannie the Great?
This is Eddie. I listen all the time. I'm actually in prison. And I know you said earlier that the first prisoner to call in would get Jeannie's phone number.
Yeah, I don't want to give out my phone number.
Yeah, it looks like her phone number is 925-3.
Okay, is that, Jeannie, is that the one?
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm not going to give, if anybody tries to call from a prison or somebody else, I'm not going to respond.
I said I didn't give them my permission to give out my phone number, and I didn't want anyone calling me. To which he replied, sorry, no one should call that number.
Okay, so anybody who wrote down Jeannie's number out there that Carol just gave on the air, please rip that up, throw it away. Please do not call it.
But he again announced my number that no one should call.
We do have a problem here.
Yeah, I'm not anybody, with inmates or anybody else, I'm not accepting calls from people I don't know.
After I said I wouldn't answer any of these calls, he announced, instead of calling, go to her website. But he again stated the wrong site. And after I corrected this again, he said that the producer of the show had authorized him to pay me $500 for upsetting me by giving out my number and wrong information.
I could probably get the lawyer to cut you, I don't know, a check for $500 or something for in case somebody doesn't rip the number up like I told him to.
Though I thought it a weird offer, I replied, fine, you can send a check.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you want to do that, mail it to me. If you have my address, you can do that.
Well, I would prefer to put it through a bank routing system.
No, I'm not interested in giving you my bank information.
But he said he couldn't do that. The show always makes a direct deposit in a guest's account.
I use dark web, so I got to use it non-US banks.
When I said I wasn't about to give him my account number, he replied, "So we can't send you the $500. Can you confirm you don't want the check?"
I'll tell my lawyer that you passed up on it. Okay.
Yeah, I passed on it.
"Good choice," he replied.
That was a very smart move. That was a very smart move, Jeannie. Probably the smartest move I've ever seen from you. So,
and added, "So if you want to contact our guest or order her book, you can go to her website," giving the wrong site again, "or call her at," giving out my phone number again.
By the way, any prisoners out there that didn't get Jeannie's number, it's 925-3.
You're not supposed to give my number out, and I'm sorry, anybody. I will not respond to any phone calls that I get from anybody.
We just told prisoners.
I already told you not to give out my number, so you did it again, so I'm sorry.
Prisoners only, everybody.
No, it's for anybody. Nobody call. I'm not going to answer the phone.
So once more, the host acted as if he was sorry for the mistake, followed by another weird offer, saying, "I'm sorry I have the wrong information from my assistant. So my producer has said I can offer you $1,000 because of our two errors. Do you want us to make the deposit in your bank?"
My lawyer really is going to ask to pay you $1,000 because it happened twice now. Can you officially turn that down or accept it?
"No," I said, feeling this was a clear attempt at a scam, not just a bumbling, incompetent host with weird guests. "Then you're turning down the $1,000, the host said.
"No, I'm turning it down. I'm turning it down, and I'm not answering any more phone calls from anybody who calls results of this program. I told you not to give out my phone number.
You answered for us.
And you did it again. I'm sorry."
"Yes," I said firmly. "All right. So noted."
I apologize. Carol, I told you, Carol has a cold. She's batting about, 20% today. I'm not going to lie. It is her fault.
It's COVID, man.
All right. Well, anyway.
And now many thanks to our guest whose phone number is, again, giving out my phone number, whose website is, again, announcing the wrong one.
Don't forget to go to JeannieGramholdScott.com to get Women's with Parkinson's in Prison, everybody.
No, it's on Amazon. It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon and...
And it's changemakerspublishingandwriting.com.
Yes, that's what I said. JeannieGramholdScott.com. Yes.
No, that's wrong. I told you that's wrong. That's a different... that's a website from doing speaking. But if they're interested in the book or my writing, it's changemakerspublishingandwriting.com.
Is the book still called Love in Prison?
No, it's not. The name was changed.
After I quickly restated the correct name of my book that was on Amazon and gave my correct website, I hung up.
Anyway, it's been nice being on your program, and good luck with it.
Yeah, I hope you come back again. Thank you, Jeannie Gramhold Scott, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Afterwards, thinking back about the interview, it had been about 20 minutes of weirdness, and I'm still not sure if the host just had a combative, joking style that attracted weird listeners and had a poor memory or lack of attention to details, so he got things wrong, or perhaps he used the podcast as an intentional scam to get personal information from guests in order to access their banks and computers and give listeners this information too. At least I didn't fall for his information request. And then, as I reflected on the experience, it reminded me of the need to be more careful when you are trying to promote a product, service, or yourself by doing podcasts or other types of interviews. Sometimes the host or interviewer may actually be a scammer using the podcast to get personal information from you. While podcast interviews can generally be a good way to get your message out from the comfort of your home or office, they can also be used to lure you into thinking this is a great promotional opportunity. But in reality, it's designed to get information from you that can be used in a future scam using this information from the interview. Based on my experience, some of the signs to look for to see if the podcast is a scam, so you can sign off and leave, are the following. 1. a host that announces incorrect information about you, your product, or service, even after being corrected.
It is her fault.
It's COVID, man.
All right. Well, anyway,
I have COVID.
All right. Whatever it is.
Two, a host that lets callers with inappropriate questions continue to ask them and even encourages them rather than shutting them off as a responsible host would do.
I'm saying, should I like steal a car? Should I try to sell drugs? Like, what impresses you?
I'm not going to recommend anybody commit crimes to get into prison to meet women. I mean, there are other ways to meet women, and I would not suggest that. I mean, I think this is like a prank call.
Three, a host that gives out personal information about you, even after being told not to share this.
Yeah, that's probably wise. I do know we're syndicated in prisons.
Or a host that offers an incentive for you to give out your personal identity or financial information that might open you up to identity or financial fraud.
I use dark web, though. I use dark web.
Five, and anything else that seems strange or makes you feel uncomfortable on the show.
With inmates or anybody else, I'm not accepting calls from people I don't know.
It won't be collect, okay? I'll call you later, though,
Jeannie. I don't care. I mean, I'm not interested in phone calls from people I don't know.
No means no, Eddie.
Then, should you feel that the host is not behaving responsibly or appropriately and might be trying to set you up for a scam, probably the best response is to say you have to leave and do so.
Everybody, I just wanted to thank Jeannie, Graham, Scott for coming on was she here before, Carol? Why did I say again?
I think she was a podcast scam expert before.
For example, after I decided I no longer wanted to be part of the show.
Ma'am, is this you on the website?
Yes.
Look at the way you're dressed.
I do have to go back to work, so...
I said, I have to get back to work. Though the host tried to convince me to stay, telling me, why do you have to work? It's 4 p.m. on a weekend.
It's a Saturday. It's a Saturday, and it's got to be 4 p.m. there.
I simply repeated that I did have to work, because I have several books to write for clients. And this reason was close to the truth. Since I was working on several books as a ghostwriter, though I could have done my work later.
You shouldn't have to work. You should have hours to
spend.
Well,
I do work. I have a client that I'm working for, so...
Then I hung up, and I was glad when I didn't get any calls that day, other than a single call from another number. And when I picked up the caller hung up, which happens anyway from time to time. Yet the effects of the podcast weren't over. Since 2 days later, I got a call from one of the callers on the show.
Oh, hey, Jeannie?
Yeah?
Hey, baby. I'm calling you from the New Mexico prison down here in Roy, New Mexico.
He claimed he was calling from prison and said he recognized my voice from the show.
And
this is her assistant. What is this regarding?
Oh, no, you just said you were Jeannie, and I recognized your voice from the radio show you were on yesterday.
So I quickly told him my number was given out inappropriately without my permission over the air, so I'm not taking any calls. Goodbye. Then I hung up.
Yeah, I'm not talking to anybody from the radio show. I'm sorry. My phone number was given out inappropriately. Goodbye.
No, ma'am, I'm a prisoner.
Almost immediately, he tried calling back, and when I didn't respond, he called 4 or 5 more times. And about 2 hours later, he called again. But I didn't answer that call either. Not responding was my way of setting up a wall of protection by having nothing to do with anyone connected to that podcast. In short, if you are trying to promote something, you may get podcast invitations. Just be cautious to check out that it's real. Perhaps check out their website, YouTube account, or other information to show this is a legitimate podcast. Plus, get their phone number, which you can call yourself before the day of the show to see if it's real. Or, should you find yourself on a suspicious podcast, simply end the interview. Offer a reason that sounds reasonable, such as having an unexpected emergency or having some work to do, and hang up. And if weird callers try calling you after the show, hang up if you answer or don't take the call. This has been Jeannie Graham Scott, PhD. And remember, beware the podcast scammer.